Right. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Driving through Philadelphia right now, wondering what station the show is going to be on.
In Philadelphia?
Yeah.
The show in Philadelphia is on
WSAB, right?
No, it used to be WSAB. It's WFHU. Yeah. W Philadelphia hates us.
WPHU?
WPHU.
WPHU.
Is there a number that goes to that?
No, I'm kidding.
666. 66.6.
What is it?
No, we're on Andy Reid 69.
Wow.
The big 69 Andy Reid.
Look for the pillows. It's the pillows billboard.
Fun of me.
No, we're not.
No, actually. We're not. We're making fun of ourselves. Don't you understand?
We're on Ass 98. Darling, we got canceled in Philadelphia years ago.
Philadelphia did not show us the Quan.
That's why it's WPHU. Philadelphia hates us.
We're not on there.
Hello?
Hello?
So now do you understand we were really poking fun at our failure in Philadelphia?
I see.
Instead of you and your many flaws.
Reject a woman and she will never let it go. One of the many defects of their kind. Also weak arms.
So when will you get to New York? Because when you get to No, you won't be able to listen to us there
that's
either.
True. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what part of New York.
Not New York City proper.
Not New York City.
No. You'd have to be in Rochester or Buffalo.
Yes. But you could go through New York and a good chunk of Connecticut. Then New Hampshire. Well, you could go to Vermont. Where are you headed?
Actually, we're headed up to the tattoo convention in Philly.
Boy, your voice changed.
What happened to you, ma'am?
She actually gave up on you guys.
What, she gave up? Did she think we were making fun of her?
That's not the first time a woman's given up on us.
I'm pretty sure she was. And actually, I was hoping she'd get right through because she doesn't listen to you guys enough, so she deserves it.
Ah, good. Well, that's the right attitude you have.
Good for you.
Exactly. Well, and that's why I'm trying to find your taste on the way out.
We're not on there.
Yeah, because you got to ride in the car with her.
Yeah.
Is she in the passenger seat?
Say what?
Is she in the passenger seat?
Yes.
Why don't you ask her to take a nap?
What?
Why don't you ask her to take a nap? Maybe
it's
she'd
actually
like...
a van. I could put her in the back.
Did you say you're going to a tattoo convention?
That's right. Yeah.
Is it a tattooist convention where you find out all sorts of new techniques?
Well, no. You can actually get tattooed. There's tons of artists that actually are working.
I'm really sad that these two young, vibrant young people are not going to be able to listen to our show today.
There are people.
It's a shame. Damn you, Philadelphia.
I urge you to get her to take a nap, put her head in your lap, and see what happens. Okay?
I think that's a good idea. So what, you guys aren't in Philly? Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
No, I can't wait. This is so painful for
us.
It's
not right, is it? But it's true.
How many times must we relive our failures to finally say to you, we are not on in Philadelphia?
But you know what? I'm going to start a riot while we're there.
We'll just
get the tattooed people to burn the place down.
And we really tried in Philadelphia, too. We went there. Ugh.
Ate the food.
How many times did we go there? Yeah, and ate the food.
A lot. We went there a lot.
What's that street that they, the alleged party street they have up there?
Oh, come on. Now hold on. Don't be hating on Philadelphia, really. I like the city of Philadelphia.
We had some good times.
It was the Dick program director that ruined it for us.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that always our blanket excuse?
Remember we went to
the
house?
Program director.
Remember we went to the house outside of Philadelphia
and
did the show from the house when it was so
world,
hot?
The world's sweatiest Las Vegas-style show.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we actually did not a live show, but we did like our stage show from some guy's row house in Philadelphia.
We did a live broadcast from right by the vet.
One Friday night. Oh, my God. That's the worst remote we ever did.
It is.
That's the worst remote we ever did. You know, we don't play records. So we started on this station in Philly that was classic rock. And they wanted us to give away Stones tickets because the Stones were in Philly.
Right.
And we said, okay, we'll do a What Would You Do for a Stones Tickets contest. And this is long before the drinking water scandal. This is like five years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, the CBS lawyers said, you can't have anybody like eating stuff and regurgitating stuff. And
we actually pulled way off of it after that because it was the writing was on the wall there. It really was. And then we got credit for it. Remember those lawyers in Sacramento? They gave us credit for being responsible.
So the company says, you can't do this contest to have people like eat stuff and drink stuff to win the tickets to see the Stones. Meanwhile, they got a tent. There's a couple hundred people there. And we said, what are we supposed to do? And they said, I don't know, guys. Go on out. Have a good time.
You're entertainers.
Have a good show.
Yeah. Wing it.
You'll figure it out.
It was one of the worst shows, really, that we've ever done.
Because that type of show we are very capable of doing if we're, in a studio. When you've got people with the panda effect, I mean, you're out there, it's just not the same. We couldn't take phone calls.
We were in a very hot tent with about 200 people who had the advantage of drinking beer all day before we arrived, They were there with one single goal. They had the stupid stunts that they wanted to do.
That was it.
To win the tickets, and right as the show was starting, we had to say, hey, guess what? We can't do any of the stunts.
We made a lot of friends that day. Yes,
so all the listeners were mad at us, and I think, didn't the client get mad at us?
Everybody was mad at us, and we were mad at them.
Everybody was mad.
It was absurd. We were put in an unwinnable position there.
Philadelphia. How dare you bring that up?
We did have one good time on that street.
Look what you've done to us.
You guys distracted me enough to miss my exit. So apparently I'm...
Hey, good.
I'll be able to listen to you eventually.
All right.
See you.
Glad you were listening.
Go to Sacramento. We're always on there.
Always.
24 hours a day.
The greatest purchase that you ever made for Rob Spiewak was the basketball jersey of was it the Chicago Hebrews?
No, the Philadelphia Hebrews.
Philadelphia Hebrews. You still have that jersey, don't you, Rob?
Of course I do.
Mm-hmm. The original Philadelphia professional basketball team.
We all bought hats one night.
No, you bought us all hats.
I bought you all hats.
Hats for everybody.
Oh, it was a hat I've been drinking?
Possibly.
Yes. I think I'll wear that jersey tomorrow.
They had that.
For the party.
They had that great Mitchell and Ness store where they sold mm-hmm. all those throwback jerseys.
Great, great jersey
store. I got very drunk with everybody one night and went out with Rob. And this jersey was prohibitively expensive. Like, I had to call Frida at the time to say, I want to buy a present for Rob.
It was her reaction. I remember you took the cell phone from your ear and looked at it.
You bought the jersey.
It was like $350.
Yeah. You bought the jersey, and then we made him put it on in the store.
And walk the streets.
You had to put it on in the store and walk the streets.
At least I look good in a jersey.
Because it has a basketball jersey. It has the Star of David on it.
Yes.
And says real big, Hebrews.
Oh, fantastic jersey.
I about fell out. I was in the store with... Poor Rob has to be my companion when I go shopping. I'm like a chick looking for shoes. When I go into the store, Mitchell and Ness, it's like I say to Rob, okay, I'm looking for the throwback San Diego Chargers jersey. I'm looking for a Warren Moon jersey. So I've got Rob searching for the jerseys, and then all of a sudden I see this thing that says Hebrews.
I think you may have bought the Hebrews jersey and a Dan Pastorini jersey. Or something like that. You bought some obscure quarterback jersey.
Yeah, well, maybe that was the Houston Oilers jersey.
I think it was the Houston Oilers jersey.
And then we sang karaoke.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only other good memory in Philadelphia was karaoke with Ben Franklin.
Right. Oh, that's right. We sang karaoke.
See, we did have some good times in Philadelphia.
None of them related to the show. No, we just had good times in Philadelphia.
We had one good party we had a couple of good parties with the people
and that little bar.
Yep.
That was a good party.
You know what? What the hell's wrong? You're right. It had nothing to do with Philadelphia.
No.
It had nothing to do with the people of Philadelphia. It had everything to do with that ween.
Yeah, the program director, uh-huh. Tim Sabian. Bastard really sold us out like a bastard hasn't sold us out before.
Hated the fact that we were on his radio station. Wanted to play music from the day we got there.
Seemed to resent it, yeah.
Do you remember how mad we were? We can laugh about it now. We're sitting up in this guy's office, and he had a shrine to Opie and Anthony. And we had to sit in this guy's office. This is back when we were feuding with them. Right before we were feuding with them. It was like when we thought that maybe we were going to work together with these guys and with Howard on some level for a network that the company was going to put together.
Right.
Anyway,
How'd that work out for him?
We're sitting in Tim's office, and
super.
God, he really doesn't want us on this station. And he won't get past the fact that we're not rockers.
Right.
And, Mike and I didn't have holes in our jeans. And
right.
And that we weren't cool. And that, God damn, we're old farts. And the whole time, right over his right-hand shoulder, seriously, is like if you go into an old person's house, they got like the shrine to Jesus, and they got the picture of Martin Luther King, they got a picture of JFK up on the wall, they got a picture of Jesus on the wall. He had all this stuff for Opie and Anthony in the corner.
Right.
And it was like, we didn't know the guy well enough to say anything like, what's going on like with the candle over there and the autographed pictures?
We should have seen the writing on the wall at that stage of the game.
Yeah.
We should have said, stood up at that moment and said, you know, they're really behind you around here.
Yep. Well, no, he was behind ONA.
He was.
No doubt he
was.
You know, he
from the beginning.
He picked his dog in that race.
Right.
His dog in that
fight.
Only
I carried a skateboard.
From day number one. Oh, now, come on. I'm not going to say this. Not their fault.
No, I'm not saying it is.
No.
But not Opie and Anthony's fault. I mean,
you were talking about Tim's perception.
They walked into a situation with a guy, and they won the guy over. More power to them.
Right.
And I'm sure they know by now. He turned like everybody else does. He ended up selling them out. And
right.
Isn't Tim Sabian
working for Howard now?
The one thing we said about Opie and Anthony, it's the truth. And I feel that way, actually. I feel stronger than the first time I said it, is that, when it comes to paying their dues, they paid their dues. It almost falls into the same category. You know, it goes up the chain. And, they got sold out way back when, and then they came back. And, more power to them as far as I'm concerned. I really feel that way now.
But Philadelphia, ooh.
That Philadelphia was a disaster.
The whole thing with Philadelphia has got to be this guy, Tim Sabian, who was also one of these guys. And I had known him before we worked there. I knew him back when I played records, back when we worked at WLS in Chicago. And he was one of these guys where he was just so full of crap. And I was so stupid for believing it at first. I remember telling Mike, listen, out of all the PDs, this is one we can trust. I knew this guy way back. He was
not knowing that the polar opposite was true.
He was okay. It's like right away. It's like, besides the fact that he was like hyper, like a chia pet with his bad hair, like a chia pet on coke, running around all the time, just hyped up and like, are you guys ready to rock today?
Yeah.
What do you got for the show today? Are you gonna rock out?
It's like, and questions, constant questions. Those manic, nervous questions.
Don, it's Tim. You hit your break yesterday at 322. I'd really like you to hit that 324.
You know the kind of guy he is? Seriously, you sit in his office, and he'd have a conversation with me like this. He'd say, so how you doing? You okay? You checking into the hotel? You like the hotel? Great. You can go to dinner tonight? Where are you going to go to dinner? You like the city? Having a nice time? You check out some of the sites? Okay. You having any trouble getting around? Everything okay? You doing all right? How do you like the studio? You comfortable in there? Anything we can do for you? Everything all right? Shut up!
I would get the real, and while you would get that, I would get the break at 24. What does it matter what time we take our commercial breaks? And that's when he would pull out. He was another one of these guys with the computers and the charts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Research.
My God.
It was all about the music and the fact that we needed to blend with the music in every way. We still did our show, but we had to put in elements. Remember he made you put in elements on the show?
One day he came to me, he's real hyper and everything.
I almost used a bad word.
He says, man, listen, you got to know something. The person who listens to WYSP does not want to hear Rick James or whatever it was. Mm. I dared play something by a black artist.
Right.
And I'll say in fairness to Tim, it wasn't a race thing with him. It was the fact that all he wanted for music coming in out of commercials was Metallica.
He wanted rock.
Right.
He wanted the same kind of music they were playing on their radio station. He didn't realize that having a talk show and having stager music fits the talk show. And we just did it for fun. And that was it.
We would drive him nuts, though, because, well, let me just get any disc here, any of our discs. And keep in mind, the songs that you come back from commercials with, you know, you play them maybe for 30 seconds.
That's all.
And then you fade the stupid thing out, so it would be like it would go, Don and Mike on 94 WYSP. And then they turn the feed on, and it would be,
they will choke your throat with the umbilical cord of comedy. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, just like it is now, we'd come on and we'd start doing the show, and he'd be standing where you are, Buzz, looking through the window. And right at this point,
he'd hate that. He would hate that.
I'd get a look. Yeah. I would get a look from two studios away. And here's what it would just be, eyes down like.
And that would be his motivation for us.
Uh-huh. And that's all he would remember about the entire show. He would call me that night and he would say, again, all hyper.
Yep.
How'd you think it go, man? Did you guys rock out? Did you rock? Did you rock hard?
And listen, I know you're doing what you think is right, man, but I really think it would really work well if you would put this in here.
Don. Our listeners don't relate to Will Smith. Hello. Everybody goes to his movies.
Right.
What's the problem with? And I remember.
Do you remember the one time we went through the promo book?
Oh.
And they it was the promo book is their live things that disc jockeys are supposed to read to promote everything on the station. Right. I mean everything. Their little liners. We went through. They had promoted every show. They had promoted every contest and everything they were giving away. There was not one mention in the book of this show.
I know.
It wasn't promoted.
It was like
one time
five
in
five pages of liners that were like WYSP plays the best rock. WYSP has Howard in the morning. WYSP has Howard in the midday. WYSP has mandatory Metallica at night. WYSP has Get the Lead Out for the Led Zeppelin show.
And you read him just like that. You went right through the book and read him, and he went nuts about that.
Yeah, he didn't like, that was another thing. He pulled me aside and said, I don't like the behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's like 80% of our show.
Right. And I said to him, hold on, you know, again, not to have the dual standard here with your tribute, with your shrine, I didn't say it like that, but I said, you call up Opie and Anthony. You call up Howard, and you go on these guys' show. He said, yeah, well, they don't give me a hard time. Keep everything inside the building.
Yeah.
Right, Tim.
Oh, God. And I'm just surprised it didn't even get uglier with him.
Yeah.
You know,
it didn't get ugly because we knew at a certain point we knew what he was going to do to us. We saw it coming. We were completely prepared for it, so it wasn't a surprise.
He thought
he'd surprise us.
Looking at, everything is easier when you look at it in hindsight, you know, 20/20 vision. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back now and I go, why the frig did we get so worked up about that? Why did we, you know? Yeah. And the reason is that we had a guy who dangled this carrot of being on in Philadelphia in front of us for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it finally came to fruition.
Right.
It was like we jumped through hoops like friggin' idiots.
Yeah, we actually put more on it than we should have, and it was a mistake, and I'll never forget it. But, I mean, he was, oh, my God. And at least he thought he really had at least a little respect for you because you were, you know, you were a radio veteran. He'd worked with you in other markets. He had, I mean, as far as I was concerned, zero. I could have been a cockroach on the desk in that. Didn't he get mad at me one time and say, and why is he in here?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right.
And why is he in here? Totally discounting the fact.
We were having just a meeting. I remember what it was. It was not a closed-door meeting.
Right.
Mike was walking down the hall because his wife had the office right across.
Right.
Mike walked by. He was busting my balls about something. And I do this quite often with Mike to get backup. And I say, hey, Mike, come here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, yeah, hey, what's he doing in here? Well,
yeah.
Hello.
Right to my face. And then
I think he got the message after that.
I took that really well.
You know, we do the show together.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. For goodness sakes.
Oh, it was a lovely time in Philadelphia. I like these reminiscences. I do. I really do.
The only thing that when I look back now and I think, what did we do wrong besides everything, was we just didn't do the show that we do.
When I think about everything we've done as far as with these other markets that we've probably put too much on. You know, the fact is, we should have just done what we did.
Yeah.
Did it? We should have done it in the studio that we like to be in, and you know, offered it up, and here it is. I really think that makes a lot of sense.
A good example is today. You know, we started off today with a weather guy from Washington D.C.
Right.
Talking about the fact that it's going to snow here. I know if you're listening down in South Florida, you don't give a rat's ass. But hey, won't you eventually figure out that we're doing the show from up north, and that people flip out about weather up north?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's the one thing I think that. If we had a chance to redo, maybe we could redo it. But, you know, we still suck. We probably still would have gotten fired.
And we all have hats.
You know what I mean?
Well, and it also makes me cherish the people that we have in the cities where we do very, very well. And
we did have one grand victory in Philadelphia. This was a great moment for all of us, really. Tim Sabian wants to fire us. Our ratings at that point, we'd been on the station for about 6 months, couple rating books, maybe two ratings books, and we had done the midday show, and they could move us back to afternoons when Opie and Anthony got canned for this sex in a church thing.
Right.
So he put us on, and he said, I really believe in the show. You guys, I'm going to give you my full blessing, but I just need some assurance. I was like, what the frig do you need? And he said, well, what I really need is for you to sign this paper.
Yeah, he wanted a guarantee.
That says, if in the first ratings book that you're on, an afternoon drive, if you're not number one in men 18+, I have the right to terminate the contract.
Wow.
Otherwise, we're going to have to part company right now.
And he did that.
Because he thought we would fold.
In his mind, he didn't think we had a chance in that short a period of time to reach number one. He didn't think we had a chance.
Thought he had.
So I said, we'll take it.
He just didn't like it. He didn't like the show personally.
Right.
It was a personal feeling that he had.
Clearly.
That's the,
I got
that is where it came from.
It killed him. And where I am now in my life, and I'm trying to pass this on to Mike and everybody, we are not stressing out so much about individual ratings. I mean, you know, God, we've played that game long enough. But back then,
we sure stressed out about that one because wanted it. We wanted to really shove it.
That was 3 months because we get a monthly rating and then we get quarterly ratings. So every month I would, on one hand, dread, but on the other hand, couldn't wait to get the phone call to hear how we were doing. And it was always, I could always tell.
We didn't think it was a sure thing. We actually we had confidence.
It was a gamble.
In the show, but it was a real gamble on our part. And we knew it was going to be a very tough thing. And frankly, you know, we knew it would be a very difficult accomplishment if we did it. And if we did it, it would be.
I could gauge by Sabian's phone calls.
Yep.
If we had done well or not. Because as weird as it sounds, he would be depressed. It would be like, I'd see on caller ID 215, which is Philadelphia. Uh-huh. I go, hello. Hey, Don, Tim. Real low key. Hey, what's happening? Oh, you guys are on fire. Man, wow, what a month.
Okay. That's exactly how he sounded. Right. It was exactly. You know when a guy's giving you great news? Hey, you did really, really well. I'm really,
keep,
real
keep
happy
up the good work.
You. Something's missing.
And then the ratings came out.
Never in a million years expected to see that kind of growth on the show.
The ratings came out in January, and lo and behold, we hit his number, uh-huh. and he had to keep us. Yeah. And don't you know that right away he said, okay, now I need you to sign another paper for the next 3 months.
Of course.
And at that point we said, wait, hold on a second. We played your game one time, dude.
Right.
And then he said, well, we'll have to let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, listen, guys, in his own mind, I think he was saying, listen, I think maybe I might have promoted the show a little too much, and I want to pull back on that and see if we can get those ratings down to a manageable low level. But it was him. It was one guy. And if one guy is running a radio station, that's just the way it's
funny. He'll
be.
Just be a chapter in my book.
Yeah.
Just the Sabian chapter.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Got a lot of stuff about Tim. And no bad stuff. I mean, no. I think he's got a good heart. He's just stupid radio guy.
And he didn't believe in the show. I mean, it's a classic example of a program director not believing in the show. And I really do believe after all these years of being, you know, a very big success in certain cities and not succeeding in other cities, it has really a lot to do with the guy that's picking this show to put it on his radio station. Yep. Better believe in the show, because otherwise it's not going to work.
Hey, guys. Guys. Hey, you really did well.
You're number one, 18 plus.
You get to keep your job. Yep. Okay, I'll see you on Monday.
Thanks so much. We will not be promoting you next week. Have a nice weekend.
And here's another thing that switched right away, too. When we would go up there, at first he would always be at the train station.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would send a secretary to the train station.
Uh-huh.
Then we would just get a text saying, get your own ass to the radio station.
Right.
And at first there would be big signs up, WYSP welcomes Don and Mike back to Philly.
Right.
Then there'd be signs up inside the studio. And then towards the end, the other DJs writing stuff on the wall like, Don and Mike suck ass. And I remember saying,
and you knew it was encouraged too.
And I remember saying to Sabian one day, you know, hey, dude, I know we're not here every day, but this can't be tremendous for morale. Where cousin Ed or whoever,
yeah, cousin Ed was the guy,
whatever douchebag it was writing on the walls that we suck. Mm. And he's like, oh, you know, hey, everybody's an artist in this business, man.
Yeah,
you got to understand, it comes with the territory.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Comes with the territory.
Thanks for believing in the show.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your. Your unparalleled support.
Really, really behind you.
And, with Cousin Ed.
But Cousin Ed did very well after we left. Yeah. Way to go. Honest to God, like a stone in a pond.
Yep.
Yep. Hello. It's fun to talk
Don about. And Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Jane, stop this crazy thing. Jesus Christ. All the man hours we wasted worrying about crap like that.
Yeah. Philadelphia.
Jesus Christ. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
You rock, and that's for Tim.
Yeah, that's right. Now I remember that.
We even made our listeners say that because he was so into this whole thing about you rock.
Yeah. And that's for Tim. Thinking that we'd schmooze his little ego and that would make a difference.
Right.
Jesus Christ. You rock, and that's for Tim.
That's funny.
Please.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
Hey, my sister works for, she works in a T.S.'s building in Manhattan, and I,
T.S.
happened to run into him. He's a hungry, hungry hippo. He's gained some weight.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Looks like a 5x5.
And hey, you know he's got to be fat if Mike and I can laugh at him.
He better, be careful. He's got a bad ticker, doesn't he?
High blood pressure.
Oh, no, I mean, that's not a joke. Mike and I were also in the car with this guy, and this is another bad sign. Mike and I are just being driven around Philadelphia by this guy. He's like showing us all the sights. Mm-hmm. And he's compulsively popping these pills.
Yeah.
And they are like real meds. And we said to him, what's going on? And he's like, you're just chewing them. It's nothing. I just, Don't you tell him, bro, my blood pressure.
And, of course, he didn't like it when we started laughing at that.
No, he didn't.
Didn't like that at all. Didn't care for that at all.
Trim his beard
maybe
more.
Maybe it's becoming clearer to me why he didn't like us.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that Don Johnson beard that he worked on sculpting so hard.
Anytime you would talk about Tim, you'd play the clipper sounds.
Sound effect, yeah.
Wonderfully interesting man. A very stressed out guy. Oh. A very high energy, stressed out
high
kind
strung.
Of guy.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's enough of a trip down memory lane. That's where we can be heard in Philadelphia every day on WNBL, W Nobody's Listening. And wait, is this a current picture?
Fairly recent, I believe.
My God.
What?
He was starting to get chubby.
Hold on
there.
A second. Take a look.
Who's that with Rush?
Oh, my God. He's Rush Limbaugh.
No, he's worse than Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my God.
That's fat, man.
Wow.
Hey, let's put that on our website. Where do we get that from?
Looks like he shaved. It looks like he shaved off his beard.
That makes him look thinner.
Tim Sabia. Wow.
I don't even recognize him.
He still looks evil.
He does. Don't let that smile fool you.
For goodness sakes. I used to sit around and tell Mike, this guy's really a good guy.
Yeah.
Give this one a chance.
He was dangerous, man.
Give this one a chance. He won't screw us up the A.
And I had it in my gut as soon as I shook his hand the very first time. I went, uh-oh.
Hey, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Sabia also put up the no smoking signs for you guys, too.
Oh, that's thank you for remembering. Yeah. Don't you remember that as well?
Yeah, for cigars.
No smoking. Yeah. Even though the engineers who worked in the station with us every day smoked cigars and like swapped cigars. And I'm talking about like the union guys that had been there 50 years would come out in the studio and hang out with us and swap cigars with them. And I would stand out front of the building and smoke cigars. And one day he put up this gigantic sign.
That's back when they had engineers when we were on the air.
No,
do you remember?
Yeah.
That was another thing. We had these engineers that were all surrounding us when we were up there. And then by the end, we'd go up there. There wouldn't be anybody.
Couldn't find one to save your life.
There wouldn't be anybody around.
Right,
when
no
we
one.
Started in Philadelphia, we had people. God, I remember that one chick. She was some Philadelphia girl, like a cheerleader. Do you remember her?
Not
oh,
exactly.
She dated one of the Eagles linemen.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, when we talk about the Cougars or the Junkettes or the dumb cheerleaders for radio stations.
Right.
This station in Philadelphia had
a couple of these girls,
that's
but they
right.
were the real deal.
They
a bunch
did.
Of these whores. And I mean, they were like high class hookers. And they would go out and do promotional appearances for the radio station.
Yes.
And they would send her out when we first started in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
She showed up at the station all the time, like with a fruit basket and, you know, like Philly hoagie steaks for us. And
She showed me them all one day. That was all. Nothing happened.
She show Fair you her not. Mall?
No, she didn't show me her mall.
She show you any of the specialty shops?
Specialty shops, little lunch, little wine,
Mike?
Nothing else then. And I think it was after that I found out that she was dating like a lineman from the Philadelphia Eagles.
An offensive lineman, as I recall.
Right.
Hold on.
Did she pass you her kiosk?
Uno momento. We got to hit a break. We do have an update on the bride thing. From yesterday. Remember that? We played you the audio of that, of the YouTube video?
Yes, much discussion as to its authenticity.
Well, the answer, my friends, is in.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.